Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Emergency podcast status.
I feel like I just talked to you guys. What happened?
Boy, time flies. Welcome to another edition here of KGW's 3-on-3 Blazers. Jared Cowley in the house. Max Barr on the ones and twos. Nate Hansen on my left. My name's Orlando Sanchez. Guys, we did not expect to be here, but a Woj bomb has put us into a state of emergency. Carmelo Anthony agreeing to a deal with the Portland Trail Blazers, a non-guaranteed one-year contract, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. As you mentioned, Jared, we really don't – this is our first time talking, so
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to hear what our takes are on this. But I don't know if you guys just want to take the mic and go from here and let's ride.
I mean, this is the first time – this is actually the first time all four of us have been together since this news broke, because Jared was off last night. He was done with work for the day. And this is actually Jared's off day. We have Jared coming in
Props
on his off day to do this. So, Jared, I want to hear your thoughts. You're the one coming in here.
Well, first of all, last night I left work and I got home and I started making dinner. And I was making this delicious chicken and rice in my Instant Pot. And so I was really focused on that. And then I had my daughter's play at the high school. And so I went to that. And then I'm sitting there waiting for the play to start. And I start getting some beeps on my phone. So I pulled out and look at it. And it's a text, thread from you guys. And it's talking about an emergency podcast. And then I see the word, I see the word mellow. And I'm like, what?
You're like, no way.
Yeah. Mellow? What happened? And so I texted back real quick, did the Blazers sign Melo? And I think Nate said, yep.
Yeah.
And so then I turned to my wife, who was sitting next to me. I said, the Blazers signed Carmelo Anthony. She's like, you didn't know that? I'm like, no, I was making dinner and doing all this other stuff. So it was very much breaking news to me, broken not by Woj, but by my friends here on the podcast. My reaction, I don't know. It's really hard because how do you know what Carmelo is now? We know what he was last season in Houston. He wasn't that good. Certainly the Rockets didn't think so. They let him go after 10 games or 12 games or whatever it was. And he was, okay, mediocre maybe in Oklahoma City the year before that. But on the other hand, the Blazers have no power forwards on the roster right now. And if there's an ideal position for Carmelo Anthony at this point in his career, it's power forward. So I don't know. I was thinking about it last night. If Carmelo Anthony had signed with any other team in the NBA, I would have been very interested in it and excited about it, and I would have wanted to follow how it went and how Carmelo plays and how he fits in with whatever team he signed with. He signed with the Blazers. So I'm very interested in it, and I very much want to see how it plays out.
My initial reaction was the Blazers have hit the panic button. We've talked about you brought it up in the podcast we did yesterday. You said, I don't think they can wait till December 15th when more players become available to trade for the Blazers to make a move. We just didn't think they would do anything with the open roster spot because, at least publicly, they had pretty much said, we're not going to do anything with that open roster spot. And so, to me, it hits on the point you did yesterday. They just could not waste time sitting back with these guys. They agreed with our assessment yesterday on the podcast, basically. The Blazers front office is telling you what we have right now is not good enough, and it can't get us through another month and a half to when we, or another month at least, to when we might be able to make deals to try and improve this roster this year. We need something because we don't have it right now. And so they've hit the panic button. They're not wasting any time to try and do something here. And to your point, we don't know what type of Carmelo Anthony we're going to get. But we know what we're getting from Mario Hezonja, yeah, Anthony Tolliver, those guys who have tried to fill those power forward minutes, and it's next to nothing is what the Blazers have gotten. So they're rolling the dice and hoping to see what he's got left in the tank.
Woj reporting that the earliest that Melo would play with the Blazers would be on Tuesday against New Orleans.
Yeah.
Mind you, this is a six-game road trip, so it's a bummer just based on that for the Portland Trail Blazers in Rip City that whenever this actually becomes official and goes down and he's on the team, you won't see him in Portland for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, for a while.
So that's a bummer. But I agree, Nate, it was very telling about where the Blazers are internally. The first word that came to mind for me was desperation.
Yeah.
They were desperate. They needed to make a move because of all the things that we've mentioned on this podcast before, specifically at the four spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've tried.
Yeah.
Terry Stotts pregame the other day was kind of pressed on what can you do at the four position, and his answer was basically like, I've tried everything.
Yeah.
Like every guy that we have on this roster has basically had an opportunity, including a rookie, a 19-year-old who made his first start since high school, was out there with the Blazers in game number 12 of the season. So initially, that's what I thought as I was like, man, this is so telling with the Blazers. And on the other hand, it's also like, what the heck? Like, why not?
Right.
You have nothing to lose here. Like, if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, back to picking up guys off the G League or whatever.
It really
for the next
is.
Month.
It's a no-risk signing, especially because of the way the contract is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's as minimum a contract as you can get, and it's only guaranteed until January 7th. You know, it actually doesn't count against the luxury tax unless he remains on the Blazers roster after January 7th. So they basically have these next 2 months now. Which, I mean, you look at the Blazers front office and where they were, there weren't any players who are going to be available to trade until at least December 15th, mm-hmm. most likely. And even then, a lot of teams aren't ready to trade at that point. So you might not have a willing trade partner. So you're looking at the next couple months before they can realistically make a trade to fill that position. You're looking at Mario Hezonja and Anthony Tolliver, and who knows what you're going to get from Nasir Little, or you take a chance on Carmelo Anthony. If he doesn't work out, you can cut him,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and it doesn't affect you in any way.
Basically, like the Rockets
you get
did,
Carmelo
right?
fan, yeah. you know, Carmelo Anthony fans mad on Twitter, but
yeah,
because the man, people love him.
Yeah, you get Dwayne Wade mad, LeBron mad.
Right.
I love how LeBron was like, "Yes, you know, great, you know, great, he's back in the league." Well, if you feel that way, why isn't he on your team?
Right.
You know, type thing. But no, so yeah, my initial reaction was panic button, desperation. But then obviously, your brain goes to how is this gonna work in Portland, because we talked, at least I talked about a lot on the last podcast, that I thought the Blazers' biggest weakness so far has been closing games on the defensive end of the floor.
Oof.
Obviously, Carmelo Anthony signing him, bringing him onto the roster, doesn't address that at all.
Right.
But the one thing it does address is just based on his career and what he's done and his track record, he's a better scorer than anyone they're currently playing out there on the floor. And so I think, Max, I'm going to give you credit for tweeting this. I think you said defense doesn't matter if you're making every bucket, I think you tweeted in reaction
like
to this.
Right.
So it kind of seems to be the strategy for the Blazers. But honestly, it might be what they're trying to do. They have to relieve pressure from Damian Lillard. Defensively, the Raptors isolated Lillard. They basically said anyone else outside of Dame beat us, and they didn't respect Nasir Little making a shot, and so they need someone out there who can at least command the respect of a defense offensively. And Carmelo Anthony from day one probably would garner more attention than these other guys they've been playing out there. And so at the least, I think it provides maybe a few more openings for Lillard, at least less pressure on Lillard to have to carry the torch offensively.
He's an isolation type dude. He's a mid-range shooter. Like, those are all things that fit into what the Blazers do offensively. But I think that's just the key component. As everybody flashed back to 2 years ago in that New Orleans Pelican series where they said, we're just going to blitz the heck out of Damian Lillard and make everybody else beat you. Let's expose the four. Let's expose the three. Let's let these guys try and beat us. I have more faith in these other guys not beating us than, you know, putting the ball in Dame's hands.
Yeah.
And it worked to a T, and the Blazers saw that and said, we need another threat. We need somebody else out there.
Yeah.
He's not going to help their defense, and he's probably not going to help their rebounding either. But, I mean, it's not like Portland's playing well on offense right now.
No.
They're ranked 19th in defense, which isn't good. And I don't think whether they signed Carmelo Anthony or not, with the roster they have now, that defense isn't going to get better.
Yeah.
That's where they are. But they rank 14th in offense. They're the middle-of-the-road offensive team right now. They were third in offense last season.
Right.
If the Blazers were playing better on offense, they would be able to win more of these games and overcome their mediocre to bad defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmelo Anthony at least gives them a chance, depending on how he plays, of being a much better offensive team. And so I think that even though he doesn't address, it does seem like their defense and rebounding and stuff like that is their most glaring weakness, but offense is also a problem right now, and he's an answer there at least, theoretically.
I mean, think back to what we were talking about a month ago. That was close to about when the NBA season started. Maybe we were a week away from the NBA season starting. And who would have ever thought 12 games into the season, the Blazers would be praying that Carmelo Anthony and Pau Gasol come and save the season for them? Because they're obviously hoping at some point Pau Gasol can come back from his foot injury. We still have no idea when that's going to be. But that's not a good thing for the Blazers. If you're relying in 2019, if you're relying on Carmelo Anthony and maybe Pau Gasol somewhere down the road to try to fill a huge starting gap on your roster, that's not a good thing at all. But I'll tell you one thing. I am much more interested in the Blazers once in those first couple games after Carmelo starts playing, because not only have the Blazers, I think, been bad this year, I think they've been pretty uninteresting. For the most part, they haven't been a fun team to watch. Usually in the past, they're always fun to watch, partially because they were so great on offense. And this year, they just haven't been that great on offense, and they haven't been a very good watch. So at the very least, it has definitely sparked renewed interest in this team after a bad 4-8 start.
I think that was the other like glaring thing that everybody has an opinion on Carmelo Anthony, one way or another. Either you're like, yeah, this is awesome, or you're like, no, this is a bad idea. Don't do it, Blazers, stop. And it's been a topic of discussion for the last, like, 2 years. You joked about this, but it's so true. This carried the conversation during the summer for us 2 years ago.
2 years ago, we spent the entire summer talking about the possibility of Carmelo Anthony, who was with the Knicks at the time, before he got traded to Oklahoma City, about the possibility of him joining Dame and CJ and forming a big three in Portland.
CJ was even posting on his social media a doctored image of him in a Blazers uniform. Like, we were all over that, and yet here we are 2 years later, and this thing is actually happening. But that's the one thing, is that the interest level is all the way up for the Portland Trail Blazers. Like, they are relevant nationally, not just locally. Everybody's talking about, like, I've got friends back, like, in the Southwest and all over the country, and I was getting DMs and texts from people talking about Melo. Yeah. And, I mean, I never get messages from them to talk about the Blazers.
Yeah.
And here we are. I mean, social media was wild last night. Like, I stayed up so late just looking at memes and comments and GIFs and just everything in between, because Blazers Twitter was on fire last night.
It was
so great to see that.
That was my favorite Blazers Twitter, because even like the people who were upset, they weren't like too upset.
Yeah.
You know, so it didn't like make you angry or make you feel like depressed for that person for saying it. It was more of like all of it was in fun.
Yeah.
You know, either like you're mad about it, but you realize this is a wild card thing anyways, or you're just over the top about it, positive, because things have been so bad for Portland, so why not roll the dice and see what happens
here? Exactly, man.
I was looking at Basketball Reference today to just kind of, I was actually trying to find comparable players in Carmelo's, you know, age 35, 16th or 17th season in the league. And something I noticed on Basketball Reference is Carmelo Anthony's page was the third, you know, highest trending page on their website right now. I mean, everybody's all about Carmelo right now, and we'll see how long this honeymoon lasts.
Sure.
Yeah. It'll depend on how he plays and how the Blazers play. But one thing I was thinking, I was trying to think of what kind of best case, worst case scenario for Carmelo Anthony's production is. And obviously we don't know because he hasn't played basketball for a year and we really don't know, you know, people have said he's in great shape, but it's very different, you know, working out and, and, you know, shoot arounds and stuff like that than actually playing NBA basketball. But I was trying to find comparable players in his position and there aren't a lot of them. You know, you've got your guys like Karl Malone and, you know, players who played well into their 40s, but I don't think that's a good comparison. And the guy I finally settled on is Joe Johnson. You know, he's about the same size as Carmelo. He wasn't as good as Carmelo was in his prime, I don't think, but a very similar player, you know, a high offense player, a good scorer. And I was looking at his age 35 season, which is, you know, Carmelo's 35 right now, was the 2016-17 season, and he signed with the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a, you know, a throwaway signing almost, just a veteran trying to, you know, who was maybe going to play a few minutes. But he ended up playing a good role for the Jazz. Not, you know, he started about 14 games that season, but he played about 25 minutes a game and had a better season than most people expected. He played about, he averaged 9 points per game, you know, 3 rebounds, shot the ball pretty well, and had about a 3 WAR. You know, he was a he was a better than replacement, a level replacement player. So I think that might be like the max of what we could see from Carmelo in my mind, is just a good contributor, someone who's, I mean, I think if you're expecting him to start and play 30 plus minutes per game, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that that's probably what the Jazz got from Joe Johnson that season is about the same. On the flip side, the next season, Joe Johnson just fell off a cliff and hasn't played since. And so I think that could be the worst case scenario, is Carmelo Anthony is right in that, you know, there are players of his skill level who have continued to perform even at this age, you know, Dwayne Wade, you know, some guys from his own, you know, LeBron James is still killing it. Mm-hmm. So I think he could still be productive in the role that he is going to, you know, excel in, but it's such a fine line right now. It could go either way. So.
Yeah, and one thing that, you know, everyone has their take and their opinion on this. One thing I think that's kind of getting lost in this is, like, if people think it works, it means the Blazers will automatically win if Carmelo is better than what the Blazers are throwing out there right now at the four. That might not necessarily be the case. Say Carmelo does what Jared says, averages 9 points a game, shoots a decent percentage, contributes every night. That still may not be enough to help the Blazers with all their problems. They may still continue losing games just because if he has success with Portland, isn't going to automatically transfer over to wins for Portland. And so that's one thing I think that's kind of being lost in this. It's either it's going to work and the Blazers are going to win more games, or he's going to fail and the Blazers are going to continue to stink. No, it could, he could be a good addition to the Blazers roster and they still stink.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they have more than one problem.
Yes.
So this isn't a one type solution.
And he's, like Jared said, he's not going to come in and average 15 to 20 points a game. Like if he somehow did that, like Neil Olshey just made the move of the year if that somehow happens. But it's not going to happen. So you're not having, in terms of a difference maker, even offensively, you're not having that huge of a difference maker. And we know defensively he's not going to be one.
It's hard to look past reputation and name, even for people that watch games on a regular basis, because you automatically go back to the Melo that was lighting it up with the Knicks or even the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
And that's not the Melo that we're going to be getting here in Portland.
No.
And so that in itself is hard to overlook. I will say one positive with this is that it seems like from all of the reports and just random interviews that I've seen with him, is that it seems like he's in a better place in terms of accepting what his role could be. Because remember how much of the discussion there was, is Melo willing to take a back seat and come off the bench? Is he willing to have his minutes reduced, not have the ball go through him on offense? And I think that he is in a better place knowing that this is his last chance, is what it feels like.
It is.
Like, this is his last opportunity to play in the league and maybe even get that final farewell that he really didn't get in Houston.
I was listening to an interview today with Jim Boeheim, his old college coach, the Syracuse coach. And Boeheim is really close still with Carmelo Anthony. And he said that he's spoken to Carmelo a lot in the past few months. And Carmelo talks a lot about how he just wants to get back in the NBA. You know, he's in a better place, you know, with his family and with, you know, his personal life than he's ever been. And he just wants another chance at the NBA, and he's willing to play whatever role is available for him. You got to think getting dropped by Houston last year and basically blamed for all of their problems in the beginning of the season when he was responsible for some of their problems, but certainly wasn't the only reason they started so poorly last season. That had to be humbling for him.
Yeah.
And then to have no other teams, you know, sign him for a year, I'd be surprised if he wasn't a little bit more.
Sorry. Love that ringtone there, Jared. There's some Parks and Rec ringtone there.
That's right. That's my ringtone. But yeah, so he's humbled, and hopefully he can come into a situation where I think this is still a good locker room. You've still got a great leader in Damian Lillard, a great players coach in Coach Stotts. I mean, if it's going to work out for Carmelo Anthony, Portland seems like a good location for him to have that last hurrah.
And it was reported that not only did Neil Olshey speak with Carmelo before the Blazers have taken the steps forward to go to signing him, but Terry Stotts did as well. It was reported, spoke with him. And I have to imagine that conversation was exactly what Jared talked about, what his role and what he expects out of him in Portland. And nationally, in terms of if this ends up being a positive, nationally, people have drawn the comparison to Dwight Howard, who's kind of towards the end of his career, and this year has had to accept a role with the Lakers that he was unwilling to accept previously. And so far in the first 3-4 weeks of the season, he's thrived in it for the Lakers. He's been one of the bench players in the league. So that's the best case scenario for Carmelo Anthony. But you're right, Jared. I have to imagine that this being his last opportunity, his last chance, means something. He has said that before, though, so that's why I'm hedging a little bit. He has said that before. He said it with Houston, and we saw they couldn't last more than 10 games with him.
But that was Houston's choice.
Yeah.
I mean, he was not good on defense, and I think that was the main reason they cut him. But it was a drastic move what they did to someone like Carmelo Anthony, because he was performing at least okay on offense, and he was accepting his role. You know, he came off the bench to start the season, and then injuries happened, and so they put him into the starting lineup. He performed in the starting lineup. The four games that he started, he averaged like 20 points per game, shot almost 50% from the field, like 40-something percent from three. And granted, his defense was bad. But I think that was more on Houston than Carmelo Anthony. I think that in Oklahoma City, he was not willing to accept any role but a starter's position. But I think he did, you know, he was different in Houston, and that was their decision that they made.
Tim Legler had some great segments today on ESPN talking about that, and that Houston didn't really use him the right way, the way he was supposed to be. He's like, he's never going to be a spot-up shooter. Like, stop that. Stop. You know, he needs to create for himself off of ISOs and, you know, knock down the mid-range jumper. So I agree with that. It wasn't the right fit for him. And at least going into this, like, the Blazers, I'm assuming, would have made this very clear. We need a four. You may not have liked playing the four in the past, but this is what we need you to do. Are you cool with that? Yes or no?
That's a position he played with the Olympic team. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people have said that in the past, that if he just, you know, accept a role on an NBA team like he did on the Olympic team, where a lot of times he came off the bench and he played the four and played some of his best basketball when he played for Team USA.
Yeah.
And he hasn't shown a lot of willingness to do that, but I do think he did a little bit last season in Houston, and he was just a scapegoat for how they started the season.
Right. Stephen A. Smith, he talked to him about it in a one-on-one interview, very candid, very open, and hearing him talk about how vulnerable he was after that, having heart-to-hearts with Chris Paul, and just mentioning that dark place of going from being wanted to not wanted and being dropped was, to your point, very humbling for him. And so I think that just being older, more mature, I don't feel like that is going to be an issue for the Blazers. The toxic, you know, reputation that some people, or baggage that some people think is there, I don't think that's going to be it if this doesn't work. I think it's going to be he can't ball anymore, or he just doesn't fit what the Blazers need, which is, you know, maybe they need a little more defense than they thought.
But one person we haven't heard, like, hardly anything.
We've been hogging the
today.
Mic. Man.
Sorry. Yeah, Max, what are your thoughts, man?
Well, I agree with you guys that, you know, it was appeared to be a very desperate move. The groupthink on Melo is overwhelming as far as his basketball talent. And to me, when that happens in sports, I wouldn't be surprised if the opposite happens.
Can you explain what you mean by
like
what is
he's
the
washed.
Group think?
He's washed. Okay. He can't play. He can't move laterally.
Yeah.
Like this is a great move for content. This isn't a great move for basketball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys would all agree with that,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Kendrick Perkins, the very outspoken Kendrick Perkins, just tweeted today that he thinks Melo's going to shine in Portland and prove everybody wrong. It could happen.
It mm-hmm. totally yeah. could happen.
And when everyone thinks one thing is going to happen, sometimes the opposite can surprise
yeah.
everybody.
Well,
to be on the lookout for that.
To Max's point of the opposite happening, we all thought this was the year that we'd finally trust the Blazers and things would be all good as they go for championship
team.
Aspirations. And now look at them, 4-8 signing Carmelo Anthony off the streets. So to Max's point, you never know.
Something that was interesting, and I think it was Woj who reported it, is that, and I don't know if this is true, but you got to take it as, you know, as something that actually did happen, is that Neil O'Shea was in touch with Carmelo Anthony's agent since preseason.
Yeah.
That this was something, I mean, maybe the Blazers knew that their depth at the four was a problem.
You're saying Neil Olshey may not have been telling the public the truth?
That's have been overselling?
Yeah. You're yeah. saying that, Jared? Never.
I'm just saying maybe they looked at Carmelo Anthony as an option to increase their depth this season, and, you know, that was just just made worse with Zach Collins' injury. And so, I don't know. It's almost like we've been waiting 2 years for this to happen. Now it has.
It has.
It feels very realistic that Neil Olshey would have a list of guys, you know, because that's his job.
It is
to
his
look
job.
Ahead
it's to foresee yeah. pretty much right. any circumstance yeah. that could pop up in the future. That's
and,
his job.
And part of that is keeping in contact with agents, with players, just to see how things are going. So he knows, do I mark this plan X off,
yeah.
you know, A, B, C, D? Like, where do they stand 2 weeks in, month in? Like, who knows who else is on Olshey's list of yeah. guys that are next, you know, or even come December. When we're talking trade or potential trades there.
And
right.
we've known this entire time that Dame and CJ, if Olshey, he knew if he ever came forward to them probably and being like, what do you guys think of this idea, that at least Dame would sign off on it. So mm-hmm. that was probably one of the reasons that he kept in contact with Carmelo, is the fact that, you know, no one else was going to sign him. And so, you know, Dame is okay with having him on the roster, and if things got as bad as they have been through the first 12 games, here's a last-ditch effort for you.
All right, prediction time. We're just going to keep this very simple, though.
Yeah.
Do you think Carmelo Anthony will make the Blazers better, worse, or the same?
I'm going to say the same.
My gut tells me the same.
I think they're going to be a little bit better. I think he'll make their offense a little bit better.
Okay.
And I don't think he can make their defense worse.
Yeah.
yeah.
Because their defense is already bad.
All right, Max, you seem to be pretty high just a couple minutes ago.
Well, no, I'm just saying expect the unexpected is
yeah,
my
yeah.
point. But I'm with you guys. I'm saying the same.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
But let me ask you guys this. Let's say it's very clear it's not working out. He can't play defense, extremely inefficient. He's hurting the team. How long of a leash does Olshey give him? I know the contract isn't guaranteed until January, right?
Yeah.
Like, is there a PR hit that you have to avoid by keeping him a certain amount of time? Or how long do you guys think they would keep him around?
You obviously don't drop him after one game. Then you, then you got a
sure,
PR hit
yeah.
coming. But, I mean, if I would think a month is probably about what they would need. I mean, how far are we into the season right now? 12 games? So give him 12 games. I mean, we've made a lot of declarations about the Blazers and feel pretty comfortable about it. The team, 12 games in, so I feel you could probably do the same with an individual player.
That's a pretty decent sample
mm-hmm.
size.
Yeah.
And I think you have to consider the alternative. I mean, even if he's not working out, is it really going to be better to go back to playing Anthony Tolliver or Mario Hezonja? I mean, how bad does
yeah.
he have to be a worse option than what they already have?
It at that point, it depends what your organizational goals are, because Max just brought up Nasir Little. Like, okay, Carmelo Anthony's not working. We obviously know Anthony Tolliver and Mario Hezonja aren't the answer. Say the Blazers continue to struggle. They don't want to throw in the towel, but at the same time, you have to look at ways you can improve your organization right now. So if Carmelo Anthony's on the roster and he's taking minutes from a young guy like Nasir Little who could use those valuable minutes, then I would go with Little at that point. Like, it kind of is thrown in the towel for the season, but you have to think short and long term.
and the usage, taking the usage away from Anthony Simons.
That too. They have young players on this roster that, while they're trying to win, they're also trying to develop players at the same time. And you can't have, if Carmelo's not performing, you can't have someone like him stunting their development and progress.
That's valuable minutes, even in a season that could be washed, that you don't want to sacrifice because you still have Dame and CJ in that window.
Yeah, you do.
In that prime window. And if you can make Anthony Simons better, if you can make Nasir Little better, you have to.
100% agree.
Instead of on a guy that's done probably after this year.
Yeah.
Carmelo has until at least December 15th. Because Neil can be, on the phones leading up to that and maybe have a trade ready to go at that time if Carmelo's not working out.
And I think that would fit our timeline about if he starts playing sometime next week, that'd be probably around 12 games and you'd have enough, body of evidence to know what you have. And December 15th comes around, you could start wheeling and dealing maybe. And I like that timeline.
Yep. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think that's the one thing that we got out of this is that Carmelo Anthony has made the Portland Trail Blazers interesting.
Yes.
That's for sure.
And so we'll put together another interesting podcast in a week.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he'll have played a game. I mean, it would have to be the Pelicans game since that's the earliest he would play before our next podcast. Hopefully he does play Tuesday and we can at least talk one game of what we saw from Melo.
Yeah. So, Jared, where can we get the podcast, man?
Go find it wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. Just search 3-on-3 Blazers. You can find it. Subscribe. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Tell your friends if you like the Blazers. And you like 3-on-3 Blazers, tell them about it.
If you know Carmelo Anthony fans, tell them about it. We want to grow this family. He is now part of the Rip City community.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back next week better than ever. See you.